here all the time. We hope you'll take the Connect card out of your bulletin and fill that out for us. If this is your first time with us, if you'll just provide as much information as you are comfortable providing. And if you're here on a regular basis, if you'll at least give us your name and your email, it helps us to get connected and stay connected with you. Hold on to that card, and later in the service, when we receive the offering, you can hand that to the usher or put it in the offering place, and we sure do appreciate it. As we worship this morning, I am mindful of the fact that the Bell Choir has been here all weekend, and yesterday I was in this space, and it was filled with bell tables, and just a wonderful angelic sound as we listen to them, and we have the opportunity to hear them as they offer music this morning and worship as well. So thank you. You know, at Trinity, we have a phrase that we say because we hope that each person who enters these doors will come to find a home at Trinity and will find their home in Christ. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand up and introduce yourself to someone new this morning. Say hello, please.
Remain standing as you are able and join us in worship as we sing, I Am. For there's no place God's love isn't.
There's no space that His love can reach. There's no place where we can find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me. Your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side.
I am holding on to you.
holding on to us as we hold on to God. So let us surrender ourselves to a loving Lord as we sing. You, Lord, you are all I need.
Lord, I call, I confess, bowing here, I am at rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one, guides my heart.
To you. And so as we worship you this morning, Lord, come abide in us and live through us that we may be your people in the world and all may come to know your Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing with us, Lord, I need you.
I'd like to invite Frank Moses and Professor John Brown to join me up here on the stage for our mission moment this morning as we enter into this time together to hear about ways that we can support another ministry. So, Frank?
Thank you. In 2010, 8 years ago, 15 of us from Trinity visited Lagos, Nigeria, and to see what God was doing at West Africa Theological Seminary. It's the largest non-denominational seminary in Africa, and we were greatly impressed, and you and I have been supporting them ever since. So So I would ask you to give a warm welcome to Professor John Brown, who is the new provost at West Africa Theological Seminary. And this will be our mission opportunity today. This is John Brown.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I bring to you greetings from West Africa Theological Seminary. And I'm here to say thank you for the support you have been giving the seminary. West Africa Theological Seminary, like you have heard, we are doing the training of manpower for the church in Africa. The church is growing very rapidly, but we have two basic needs. One, the training of manpower to lead the church. And the second thing is discipleship. There is a lot of, we have a lot of challenges that may need us to train people and to take the gospel to the unreached. Nigeria, Africa, and the world is facing a very big challenge of terrorism, kidnapping of children. In fact, you must have heard that over 250 girls were kidnapped from a community called Chibok. And even last week, the Muslim terrorists went to the school and kidnapped again over 100 girls. So your support to help us take the gospel and to evangelize. That's why we are here to say thank you. On the good note, I have heard from the senior co-pastors and the associates that they will bring a team to Nigeria, and they are coming to be with us. So I want to say thank you for supporting us, and I will constantly be praying for you and as you are praying for us. Let us take the gospel, and again, we are encouraging the training of women. Women in Africa also need to embrace the gospel. Just like I'm seeing here, you have pastors also who are women, so we are encouraging the same in Africa. Thank you again. And welcome again. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. You know, here at Trinity, we have a long history of supporting theological education, not just here in our own country, but around the world. West Africa Theological Seminary, Moscow Theological Seminary. As you heard the provost say, theological education is so important. And so we have an opportunity, being a people of means, to help support that. And you can do so by any of the wooden boxes that you see as you leave today. Those are our mission boxes. You can make an offering there that will go directly to support the ministries at West Africa Theological Seminary. So as you are able, we invite you to be generous. We turn now to our time of prayer together, where we can unite our hearts in prayer and pray about those things that we brought with us this morning, but then also you might want to remember these folks in your prayers as well. These are people who are receiving support from our congregational care team and you in your prayers. Your prayers avail so much, so please continue to keep them in your prayer. This morning I will be leading us in a litany for the church and for the world, and at the conclusion of each petition I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and I invite you to join your voices together and say, hear our prayer. But let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
That the bell choir will be ringing in just a moment is called Grazioso. It was written by Arnold Sherman as a memorial to a person that he rang bells with. This person died from cancer, and this piece was written as a memorial to her life. You'll hear in the beginning just a very strong sense of her life as the music portrays a very strong, lovely, lyrical melody. Then you'll hear a little bit later into the piece, how the composer describes her death through music, and then as the angels come and take her to heaven, and then at the end, it really crescendos into a really loud, joyous celebration that reminds us of the resurrection that we have in Christ. Please be in prayer with and for us as we present Grazioso.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Exaltation Ringers. We have the opportunity now to give back to God from what God has given us as a means of, as an act of worship, out of gratitude and love, but also as a means of supporting the ministries of this church. So let us worship God with offering. God, we thank you for the giver. You are the giver of every good thing we enjoy in life. And it is our joy and privilege to give back to you now from what you have given us. Multiply these tithes, these offerings. Have your will and your way with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my name is Blake Winston, and today Sunlight will be singing Count on Me by Bruno Mars. This song talks about how he will always be there for somebody else, no matter what, and the other person will be there for him too. This is the optimal relationship between God and his people. God, we know, will always be there for us no matter how many mistakes we make and no matter how many times we turn away from him. However, it is also a hope that we will be there for God and never leave him. However, in the rush of today's life, we often forget our end of the relationship and slowly slip away from him. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In this verse, God is saying he will never leave and we can count on him.
Bye. Thank you, Sunlight. Love a little Bruno Mars to start the day. You know, it's interesting. Just this past week, our search team met to interview our top five candidates for the Director of Sunlight position. And across the board, one of the things that all five of them mentioned, we were FaceTiming with each of them, and one of the things that all five of them mentioned was the uniqueness and how they just love the idea of being able to take secular music and use it to speak into a faith environment and bring a message out of that. So, which leads me to say, I encourage you to be praying about that ministry and about that position. We are now at the point where we are looking in the next few weeks bringing in our top two candidates to be here on site for a weekend with us. And so pray for Sunlight and for that ministry and for what it will continue to mean for us in the future as a church and a congregation. Today we continue our Lenten series that is challenging and encouraging all of us to go deeper, to become more deeply rooted in our faith and in our relationship with God. And we find our focus for the morning in the 6th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 25th verse. I'd like you to follow along as I read that passage. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? And who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. We hear that refrain several times in just these few verses of the passage today, and it's a refrain that seems to show up in other places in Scripture as well. But in the context of the world and the times in which we live, just to say the words, don't worry, can seem a little superficial or maybe even unrealistic. When we think about children in Nigeria who are being kidnapped out of their classrooms, the threat and the danger is real. When we think about the terrorism that exists both there and even threatens us here and in places all over the world, the danger is real. When we consider the events just of the last 2 weeks, here in our own state, the danger is real. It is not enough to just simply say, don't worry, it seems. In fact, in the wake of the shootings at Marjory Stoneman Douglas, there are things that we should worry about, we say. There are things that might even keep us up at night. So it's important first, then, for us to set the context for these words that we hear from Jesus today. We can begin by looking at the Greek word in the New Testament that is used here. It is the word merimnao. Merimnao can be translated as worry or care or anxiety. It shows up in several places in the New Testament. And when we look at some of the other examples of where it shows up, it becomes clear that Jesus is not making a blanket statement as if to say there is nothing that should worry or concern us. We can go to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, for example. And there in the seventh chapter, when he is talking about how perhaps it would be better in his context, he was thinking that it might be better for people to remain single rather than be married so that they could focus their attention on their life of faith. Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties, and it's that word merimnao. But then he says, the unmarried man is anxious, merimnao, about the affairs of the Lord, how to please the Lord. And then when we turn a few pages later in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, when Paul is giving us the image of the church as the body of Christ, and talking about how we all fit together, he says that it is this way so that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care, merimnao, for one another. Clearly, as we begin to look at these examples and others then, when Jesus says, don't worry in this passage, it's not that he is saying that there is nothing that should concern us, that there is nothing that we should worry about or be anxious about. It's just that we need to be able to put our concerns and cares on the right things and to get our priorities in the right places. Continuing to set the context, we can look at what comes before these verses in that same chapter. There's several things that Jesus is speaking to and about and drawing attention to earlier in chapter 6, and all of them seem to be things that have to do with people trying to keep up appearances. Nobody here ever does that, I am sure. But people trying to keep up appearances, and so he talks about how to help the poor. Because apparently, in his context, there were people who were doing it in a showy way where everybody would see how generous they were being so that they would draw attention to themselves. And Jesus says, don't do that. And then he talks about how we should pray, that we should step aside in secret and in quiet and pray and not try to be the loudest prayer or the one that used the biggest or the most words. And then he talks about fasting. And apparently there were some folks in that day who were drawing attention to themselves while they were fasting by trying to put on as miserable of a face and appearance as they possibly could so that people would see them and know, oh, you must be fasting. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. And then he turns his attention to the way in which people's attention gets divided. And they try to pay attention to a life with God while holding on to a life that is oriented around material possessions and wealth, gaining, acquiring as much as they can, keeping up with appearances. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus offers a model prayer. It is here in chapter 6 that we hear him give to his disciples and to us the Lord's Prayer as a model for orienting not only our prayers, but our lives. And so by the time we get to the beginning of our passage today, all of this is in the background. All of this is part of the framework that sets us up for the beginning of verse 25. Therefore, now you all know, if you're reading a document, a resolution, or if you're reading something or hearing someone speak, when you get to the word therefore, you're about to get to the conclusion, the meat of the matter, right? So Jesus here says, therefore. And in these final verses of chapter 6, he is addressing all of the knots. That's N-O-T-S. All of the knots that get people all tied up and tangled in worry over the things that need not keep us up at night. There may be things that should keep us up at night, but Jesus is talking to us about the things that need not keep us up at night. So what are some of those knots that perhaps we need to name for ourselves? Well, in our context, I think a lot of them today are not enough. We think in terms of not enough an awful lot of the time. We have not enough to keep up or to be happy. Not enough car or not enough house. Not enough boat, not enough land, not enough friends, not enough time. We worry about there not being enough for both you and me. And so I'm going to work to protect my little corner of the world, even if it's at your expense, because I'm thinking from a mindset of scarcity rather than acknowledging God's abundance. And so I think in terms of not enough for both you and me, and I'm going to come first. And then there are all of the fill-in-the-blank examples that we put on ourselves. Not blank enough. A few examples. We look at ourselves and we think, not good enough. Not smart enough. Not pretty enough, not handsome enough, not buff enough, not well-liked or promoted or accomplished or fast or funny enough. You can probably think of a few of your own that tie you up in knots at times. What is it that you would use to fill in that blank? Not blank enough. That occupies way too much of your time and energy and concern and creates knots of worry. In talking about this passage and what Jesus is trying to say to us, one theologian says, what our hearts desire is to really count, to know that our lives really matter. And what happens far too often is what we do to ourselves is to tie ourselves up in knots, worrying about the things that we think will make us count in the world. The things that we think will make us count in front of others. Jesus looks at us and looks at all of that and says, don't worry. Don't worry about that stuff. And thank goodness he doesn't stop there. Have you ever had that person, maybe there's somebody in your life who seems to always be able to point out what it is that you should not be doing? Don't do that, or don't say this, or don't go that way, or they're happy to tell you all the knots. But then there's no positive suggestion about where to go instead? Thank goodness Jesus doesn't do that. So after saying, don't worry about that stuff, he looks at us and he says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And in that moment, in the context of that Sermon on the Mount, in the context of all that he has just said, what he's doing is he is pointing us back to the prayer that just a few verses earlier he taught us. You all remember how that prayer starts. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. There it is. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. What we need
is to begin by focusing on God and God's purposes, not our wants and worries and the stuff that we think that we need and we want. It's about the orientation, the basic orientation of life. So Jesus says, seek first the things that are of God. And then these things, and which things? These things will be added unto you. Not the things that we think we want, the things that we have thought would make us count, the things that we have been doing to try to keep up with appearances or to keep up with the Joneses, but the things that we really do need. And here again, we can imagine Jesus pointing us back to that prayer. Because in that prayer, once we have said what needs to come first, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, then he points us to basic needs that we can offer up in prayer. Daily bread. Not what we need tomorrow or a week from tomorrow or 10 years from tomorrow. Bread for today. We can pray for forgiveness because we all need that. And we all find grace and comfort in knowing that it is there for us. We can pray for the strength to face temptation because goodness knows we are all tempted on a daily, if not hourly, or moment-by-moment basis. And we can pray to be delivered from evil. Because life is a journey full of choices. And God is always inviting us to choose the good over the evil. That we will be a part of what God wants to do in and through us. And not steer off course based on some other person's ideas about who or what we should. Now, let's be honest. This does not happen instantaneously. It's not a matter of saying, don't worry, and then it's all done with, right? It's not a matter of a snap of the fingers. There is no midnight magic where we go to bed one night with all sorts of worries and we wake up the next never to have them again. But here's one thing I know. Here's one thing I have experienced at times in my own life, and here is one thing I hear Jesus telling us through these verses today. If you want to starve your worry, feed your faith. If you want to starve worry out of existence, feed your faith. Because the deeper we go in our faith, the deeper we allow God to walk with us in that life, the more we will know that God's grace is indeed sufficient for all of our needs. Eugene Peterson, in his translation, The Message, puts the final verse of this passage this way. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Get things in the right order. Seek first God's kingdom, God's righteousness, the things that are of God. And if you're not sure about where to get started with that, if that's not something you've ever really taken a serious look at or thought about or said, yes, that is what I want to do, let me just offer this as one way to start this week. I would invite you to read the letter to the Philippians in the New Testament. It is a short letter that's just a few pages long. Sit with it. Don't speed read it. just read a few verses and let them sink in at a time. And then begin each day this week with a few moments of prayer. And in that time of prayer, spend at least as much time silent and listening as you do speaking. The deeper we go, the more we know of God's abundant grace that is sufficient for us. Put that into practice this week and see what God will do. God, may we lean into your grace. And may we find the strength that we need and the peace that we want that is sufficient for us all. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
We dare not come to this table trusting in our own goodness. We come trusting in the goodness and mercy of our God. God, who proclaimed through the Son Jesus Christ, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God formed each one of us. God breathed life into each one of us. And God's steadfast love continues with us always. And God came in Jesus Christ to embody that love for us. As he said, "I am the bread of life. My grace is sufficient for all your needs. And so seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be yours as well." We remember that on that night before he gave everything for us, he gave his very life for us. He gathered the disciples around him, and he took a loaf of bread, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table and we offer ourselves. We offer our lives. We offer our cares and worries. We offer all that we have to God, knowing that we are fed and nourished and strengthened to go out into the world and to offer ourselves for others. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory on the feast. at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come forward to the front. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where all are welcome to come and be fed. We invite you to come out the left side of your row to the station in front of your section. Cup your hands to receive a piece of bread. Take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then you can return to your seats by the other side. You're also welcome to spend as much time as you would like at the kneeling benches in prayer. And there's gluten-free available on the sides. Please just ask the servers and we would be happy to serve you. As you come this morning, may you offer your cares and worries to God, that through the very real presence of Jesus Christ, your faith may be fed and you may go out strengthened and renewed. Please come. Everything's ready.
Chains.
Amen. It is for freedom that we have been set free, and we have a God who is spinning zealous love over each and every one of us, inviting us to cast our cares on Him and to embrace abundant life. So will you stand with us and sing a familiar tune with a contemporary hymn or chorus, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And we're going to begin with that contemporary chorus. We'll sing it twice. Join us as you catch the melody, and then we'll launch into Joyful, Joyful. Here we go.
We sing it, jubilation.
Go out today, I hope that you will take an opportunity to say hello to Reverend Dr. John Brown, who has been with us. What he didn't tell you earlier when he talked about us coming over there is that the other side of that equation is that he's coming back here to preach. So we're going to go to Africa. He's going to come back to the States to preach. And we'll look forward to that. I invite you to be generous at the mission boxes on your way out. And again, please stop and say hello to him. He'll be out by the Welcome Center. And now go. Trusting in the grace of Jesus Christ to help you untie the knots. Knowing that the love of God is there in abundance to help you release your word. And that the power of the Spirit gives you strength to take it day by day.